One, welcome to Flip the Score. I'm Alex.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Josh.
And tonight we got we have a relatively slow news week. Not much has really happened. Mario Day was this past Sunday, so some stuff did.
Wahoo!
So we did get some stuff. But before we talk about any news, let's talk about some games. I'll hit it off right off the bat. I have only really been playing a little bit more of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I have finished the Grasslands Points of Interest. I think I get the fun enjoyment of running around this map and clearing the stuff on it. Some of the stuff I have to look up online because it's kind of hard to figure out where to go. One of the summons in Junon that I'm trying to look for. I don't know where it's at. It's in a town, but I don't know how to get to it.
One I had to specifically look up was in the Junon area.
It's one in Cruise List.
So when you're given the task from the bird things. The chocobo. When the chocobo guy gives you the quest to go up to the mountain and talk to that guy,
yeah,
he is fucking like map drawn by a 3-year-old.
Dude, it's so bad.
And he's
God, I hated that one.
Yeah, so I had to actually look up online, like, hey, I'm not going to spend an hour looking at this shit. Like, just tell me where to find it. So that's the only thing I've had to look up so far. What else have you had to look up?
Just that one, actually. That one and then the one, the last summon for that area. Just because it's in Crow's Nest and I don't know where it's at. I have to look for it. So, I just haven't had time to really play anything. But I want to get back and play some more. I want to get back into Helldivers 2. So I want to check out that mech update. That looked fucking incredible. Yeah.
Dude, how cool is it that when it mech's out, they had to delay it a couple days before they announced it. But the way they did it there, like, the mechs are going to be released in the game, but the mechs are being attacked. Like, the mech factory is being attacked by the robots. And like, so it's gonna be a couple more days. I thought that was like a cool way to like, just kind of a cute way to be like, yeah, we're taking a little bit longer.
I like their like their cool use of social media and stuff, trying to like promote the game and kind of like keep it
character. Apparently they just introduced flying bugs into the game.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good, great, grand. Yay.
Yeah, and I guess the story reason they're doing that is because I guess on the bug planets they're like. Yeah, the good guys released this like gas on this planet that's supposed to kill all the bugs. Well, it actually just like gave them wings,
just made them worse,
or something like that. I don't know what it was.
Did they give them all Red Bull?
I think they tried,
pretty much,
but they didn't like it.
Yeah, it was kind of icky. So, I really liked how they're like kind of leaning into all it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really played much, that's really been about it. I have been watching Dragon Ball Super after the unfortunate passing of Toriyama, which we'll probably talk about.
We will.
I was like, oh, you know what? I haven't really watched any Dragon Ball in a long time, and I have never watched Dragon Ball Super. And have you guys watched it?
Okay.
Super.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm only on the episode where Goku just... He just transformed into Super Saiyan God, so I don't really know what happens after that. But it's a really interesting and like just.
I mean, it the first two like arcs follows the movies, the first two movies. So you had like the Beerus arc, and then the Frieza arc is when Frieza comes back as the second arc.
Okay,
and then after that is Black Goku.
Yeah,
which is just what a fucking weird ass name.
Fucking, they just just Black Goku. Okay.
Yeah, and then after that is the Tournament of Power. So.
It's really cool. I forget how just weird all the characters are and how cool they are. And it's a really well made show. I can't wait to keep watching it.
The thing I do like about Dragon Ball Super is that the first two story arcs, like Andrew just mentioned, it follows the first and second Dragon Ball Super movies, but it definitely expands upon the content and it expands upon more than what was in the movies, which is pretty cool. Like, for example, in Resurrection F, Captain Ginyu ends up because he's still a frog on planet Earth, and then he ends up switching bodies with one of Frieza's with one of the henchmen that brings Frieza back, and he does the same thing in Dragon Ball Super, but they expand upon it and they expand upon like how he dies, and so it's I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch more of that, and what else have I done? That's really it. I haven't really done much. But
Alex, it's funny that you mentioned you've been watching Dragon Ball Super, because I have been watching Dragon Ball Z with Trisha, because Trisha has never seen Dragon Ball Z.
Ooh, so are you starting from the absolute beginning?
Yep, we started from episode one, and we're only through episode six, so I mean, we have a long way to go.
So you're barely into the Saiyan saga.
Yeah, so
whenever anyone, now this might be a hot take, guys. Whenever anyone says to me, where should I start with Dragon Ball Z?
Cell Saga.
I actually say to skip the Saiyan Saga and start with the Frieza Saga. Because I think the Saiyan Saga is completely, like, pointless. I don't need to get anything out of it. I think you can just start at the Frieza Saga and move on from there. Okay. In my opinion. But
I don't know if that's a hot take or not. I will say that as someone who enjoys Dragon Ball, I enjoy earlier Dragon Ball Z as well. And no, it's like, you know, Andrew is, he's a fish. He's attracted to shiny objects. Unless there's transformations and a bunch of giant key blasts going everywhere, he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't. It's like lightsabers in Star Wars. Like, if there's no lightsabers, why am I watching this? It's like,
But I enjoy like the earlier Dragon Ball Z as well as the later stuff. So,
yep.
Okay, Josh, since you're watching Dragon Ball Z, what are you playing?
I've been just, I don't know, kind of been in a little bit of a funk lately.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of stuff in my house, got a lot of stuff done, and I guess like I have a baby coming soon.
Well, what
is also just like in itself just a lot to think about.
Yes.
And I guess it's one of those things of like, you know, it's the calm before the storm, and it's just kind of like that anxiety of like you just don't know what to expect.
Tell you what, the first 4 or 5 months, pretty great. They just poop, they eat, they sleep. It's great. Good times. It's when they start like grabbing at stuff and wanting to move around. It's like, oh, cool, great. This is the work. For the first two weeks of having my kid, I played so much Assassin's Creed Valhalla because we would just hang out for a little bit and then he'd fall asleep for forever. Like, all right, guess I'll just play Assassin's Creed all day. But after like the 4 or 5, you know, like probably like the 6 month mark, it's like, cool, great. This gets fun.
How is your kid though with sleeping at night though?
On and off, not terrible. Some nights weren't very good, but it got better as he's gotten older. Now he is a pain in the ass to sleep because he'll just take over whatever bed he's in and push you off of it, and then complain when you get moved. It's like, thanks, man. But it wasn't terrible. It took a little bit to kind of get used to the like a feeding schedule of like being up at a certain amount of time. Like, oh, he's up at like 3 and then he'll go back to sleep for like a few hours, then doing that. But other than that, it wasn't too hard, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think a lot, it definitely all depends on how's your kid going to sleep at night. Yep. And you know, if your kid is up like throughout all the hours of the night and you're not getting any sleep, then
that's very rough. But thankfully he slept. Yeah. For a lot of it, so it wasn't too difficult, but it was at times, probably the first, you know, like month or two, it was a little rough just because, you know, he's a little new baby, he's trying to get used to it.
Yeah. Him. How long, do you remember how long you were off work for?
I think we got 3 weeks.
Okay, because I know Josh is 8 weeks he's
pulling
it off.
Fuck,
I think.
You get 8 weeks of, my God, that's awesome.
I get it's 6 weeks.
That's still pretty fucking
but
nice, man.
I know, but didn't you say you were gonna take an extra 2 weeks?
Well,
I'm gonna.
I have a PTO saved up, so I'm gonna try to take another couple weeks.
Hell yeah, that's what I planned on doing. But Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. That's a long time. Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. So I'm not going to know what to do with myself. I mean, I guess take care of a baby is what I'm going to be doing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, all right, since you've been in the lull, have you besides Dragon Ball Z, have you watched anything else?
Well, I was going to say a couple of days ago, I guess it's video game comfort food. I got in Skyrim on PS5.
Oh, sweet. Have you had a run on PlayStation 5 before?
No, so this is the first. I did play the Skyrim Special Edition when it was ported to PS4.
Okay.
But I have not played it since I got the PS5 like version. And so, I mean, it plays really great. I mean, it looks great. It runs at 60 frames. So, I mean, it's Skyrim. I mean, everyone's played Skyrim. So, I am trying to do, I've never played through the Thieves Guild in Skyrim before. It's like the one guild I never did.
Oh yeah. It's a really good one.
And so that's what I kind of like. I played, I leveled up a little bit and I kind of beeline toward that.
Nice.
Sweet.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm just you know, stealing shit. So,
all right, Zell, you been playing?
That, and then I finished one other thing. I was kind of just putting some time into, not really playing, but I remodded my Wii U with like a more modern, like a soft mod. And so I did that, and then I just had to re-add all the games, which was kind of a pain. But now I'm done with that. So, and now I was playing a little bit of Donkey Kong 64. On the N64 emulator on Wii U.
Sweet.
So, I mean, it's fun. I mean, it holds up in many ways, but in other ways, it doesn't hold up that good.
I don't know. We were talking about this last weekend. I disagree. I don't think that the game holds up at all.
Okay.
But
what makes it not hold up? Because I haven't played Donkey Kong 64 in a very long time, so I have no opinion one way or the other.
I think the camera is dog shit in that game.
You know what, man? A lot of I believe N64 games were just trying to get into like the, you know, rotating camera, non fixed angles. So like a lot of those early games in N64, the camera always felt weird.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I also think with the collectathon nature of that game, I think there is a line of when it goes too good to way too much. And if I want to play a collectathon game from the 64, I'm going to go with one of the Banjo-Kazooies. And I just think that Donkey Kong 64 has way too many collectibles and stuff to keep track of.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the way that it holds up is, like, atmosphere. Like, I think the music still holds up.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, the graphics, I think, still hold up. I think the humor still holds up. It's still funny. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, the actual combat, and then I forgot that all the monkeys end up, like, getting guns. And so, like, Donkey Kong has, like, a bazooka. Diddy Kong has little...
No, Donkey Kong has, like, the shotgun.
No, he has the coconut bazooka to where he pulls out and it shoots a coconut.
Yeah, but you hold it like a shotgun.
But it's not called. It's called like the coconut. Shit, I don't remember what it's called.
Chunky Kong is the one that has like the big like shoulder held like bazooka that shoots the giant pineapples.
Let's see.
You know what also doesn't hold up, Alex?
What?
The DK rap.
Bullshit! That's a fucking treasure in American society. Don't you talk shit about it.
No, try watching again. Trust me.
Try watching? Oh, God, there wasn't.
It's cringy,
God,
there dude. Wasn't as soon intro, as it starts, there? You're just like, you cringe the whole time.
It's called right, the we're coconut look it shooter.
Up yeah. Oh, yeah, he holds it like a shotgun.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But when you go in the first person to shoot, like, moving objects, it's pretty tough because you have to... you were aiming with, like, the C-stick.
Yeah. Alex, did you know that when that game was being made, that Rare, when they first brought Miyamoto in to show him what they were doing, they actually, like, all the like Donkey Kong, all them, they were holding actual guns.
Bro, that would have been a much cooler
like,
game.
Like DK actually had like a fucking full-fledged shotgun. And they all really liked it. And they looked over to Miyamoto expecting him to be happy. And they said that he looked horrified. And he was like, I cannot, this, no. Like, you gotta change it to like guns or like coconut guns or something. So, yeah.
Listen, I don't know why you guys said the song sucks. This shit's a fucking bop. Yeah.
I think that's a good call. It would have been weird if like you know like Trixie Kong going around with like a fucking Uzi or something.
Well, and because she had a she shot feathers, so I think she would have had like a crossbow. But like, what did Lanky have? What's his gun?
I don't know. I don't remember
because Diddy had like the two pistols. Donkey had a shotgun, and I don't remember what. Oh, Lanky had like the. That's right. He had this like long like pipe thing that would shoot the grapes out of. So I don't. Well, he might have just had like one of those like.
I guess.
Like a
poison sniper rifle.
Yeah, or like a poison like dart thing that you shoot at you or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's funny. Oh yeah. So I've been playing more Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I'm on chapter 4 right now. And I am currently back in the grasslands trying to complete that stuff. Alex, we need to talk.
All right, what do we need to talk about?
Chadley needs to be put 6 feet under. Like, we need to fucking off this piece of shit.
I thought Chadley was cool. Until that motherfucker wouldn't shut the fuck up. And I was like, okay, man, maybe you should bury Chadley.
Who thought it was a good idea to fucking give this guy your cell phone number? It's like, dude, I'd be like, lose my fucking number,
Every
Chadley.
Goddamn
like, stop
time I
calling
call up
me.
To anything. Let me call you about this.
Oh,
hey,
my
dick nuts.
God.
I did this 20 minutes ago. I don't need you to call me again.
Yes. It's like, shut the fuck up. I don't care. It's like, dude, you were so, like, I tolerated you in the first game. Anytime I had to talk to you, I was like, oh, I gotta talk to this fucking nerd-ass piece of shit. Like, fine, I'll do it. And now he just called you and all the fucking time. Oh my God. It's annoying. He's like that friend that, like, won't take a hint. That, like, you just, like, go somewhere and he just fucking shows up. It's like, oh, hey, what's up, man? You're like, oh, my God, why the fuck are you here? And now he got your phone number.
That's so scary.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I'm having fun. I got to the second like city area in Junon.
Under Junon?
I did. Huh?
Under Junon or?
Yeah, under Junon. I did the Queen's Blood matches there.
Sweet.
Dude, there's this one Queen's Blood match that I think took me 7 or 8 tries to do because this chick just like kept fucking beating me.
Yep, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, she rolled me a few times.
Yeah. But yeah, it's fun. And then so what Josh is talking about with like comfort games, I've also been kind of feeling like kind of a lull. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the, you know, we just had a time change. It's getting nicer out. And I've just kind of been in a lull of like, man, I just kind of want something, you know, fun to play, like comfort food. And one of my comfort food franchises would be the modern Tomb Raider games. And so I've been playing a lot of Rise of Tomb Raider on my my Portal, and then sometimes on a TV. And I only beat the game once back in 2015, so it's been like 8.5 years. And that was back on Xbox when it was an exclusive game. So I've never beat it on PlayStation, so that's where I'm playing it. But yeah, having a lot of fun with it. And awesome. That is all I've been playing.
All right. Anything else before we move on to the news?
No, although, Alex, I don't know if you watched a new episode of Shogun yet.
I have not. No, I think I'm going to watch those tomorrow.
Okay, but holy shit, the end of episode 4, I won't say anything else, just holy shit.
Okay. Like, I'm excited, I'm so excited.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, that's it, so. let's get into some news. Not a whole lot of news. I will say, I am very happy to say it. No layoffs this week.
Yay!
That is exactly what we wanted to hear, except there's some other stuff that has happened.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Toriyama has been laid off from life.
Motherfucker.
Boo.
Damn, that was bad, but I'll give it to you.
I know, I'm sorry. That was a bad segue.
That wasn't great.
So Akira Toriyama passed away on March 1st. It took about a week, actually, for the news to come out. I assume it was probably his family, like, getting all the affairs and stuff in order before they, like, announced it to the press and all that. So
they had to see if there were indeed real Dragon Balls to collect first.
Yeah, they're like, wait, can we wish this guy back, right? Unfortunately, I wish that were true. Over in, was it, I think it was like in China. I think I saw that they actually held like a day of like
remembrance.
It was like a national day of mourning or something like that. Cool. for Toriyama, which was really cool. I mean, this man had his fingerprints all over anime. I would say probably like half of all anime, like owes itself to
game world too. With
Chrono to Toriyama. Trigger, so
and what the hell, Chrono Trigger, and what else did he do? He did
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. He did
God damn it. Hold on, let's look it up. Let me look it up.
Didn't he do some of the
I want to say Dragon Quest.
Dragon Quest games.
He also did Blue Dragon.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep.
He did do the Dragon Quest series too. Okay.
He did a bunch of Dracway games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's had a huge influence on everything.
Yeah.
Man.
I actually forgot about that. This guy is everywhere. He's gonna be greatly missed. His last series that he worked on is this, they don't have the name here. It's this Dragon Ball show coming out later this year where they're all kids again.
Dragon Ball Daima.
Daima, where someone uses these like Dragon Balls and just wishes everyone kids, I guess. Kind of reminds me of do you remember that Power Rangers miniseries, Josh, when everyone like became kids again?
No.
So it was back the original Power Rangers run. Where,
sure,
like,
it wasn't just like a fever dream you had?
Yes, I'm sure. It's like
shitty fever dream that would be.
It was the Green Ranger was bad, and Rita reports.
Oh no! I remember
like,
that. I remember this.
She used like one of her spells to like make the Rangers like little like 10-year-olds or something like that. I don't know. I remember that.
I absolutely know what you're talking about. That is real. I have no more information.
Yes.
Josh, that wasn't a fever dream.
Maybe. I don't have any more information either. I just remember it happening.
I did too.
Yeah.
And I'm actually interested in this Dragon Ball Daima show because most of the characters have been turned into children. However, Gohan has not been turned into a kid.
Gohan is an infant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, what's going on with it.
Yeah, it's because they didn't perceive him a threat anymore. So they're like, whatever, we don't make him a kid.
That's funny.
But yeah, you know, I actually don't know. Did Toriyama have kids that, like, also...
Give 2 seconds and I'll find out for you.
Yeah, because it'd be awesome if, like...
Two.
Yeah, if,
two
like,
children.
His... Like, yeah, I wonder if they, like, also did anime stuff with Dragon Ball.
He was married since 1982, man. That's wild.
Yeah, because obviously Dragon Ball is a huge franchise that's going to continue after, you know, it's still going to continue.
So he has two children, a boy named Sasuke and a daughter named Kika.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
That's awesome. But yeah, it's crazy how much of a legacy he's left, because everybody from fucking the president of France was giving their respects and admiration to this guy. We all knew his name. I wasn't familiar that he did so much more work than Dragon Ball. But man, it's a really sad time, because this man had his hands in every single thing that seemed like that was anime related, and he made everything just so much better. It seemed like.
Yep. He also did that Sandland that is
new anime game that's coming out.
It's got a game coming out this year.
Yeah, that new game coming out based on the Sandland anime. So yeah, Toriyama did that also. So.
Cool. That's so cool.
I definitely died a little bit inside, because the night I found out that he died, Trisha had woken up. This was like I want to say like 11 o'clock ish. And she woken up, she was asleep, but she woke up, and then I told her, I was like, Kira Toriyama died, and she goes, I don't know who that is. I'm like,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, hey, hopefully if she keeps watching Dragon Ball Z with you, then at the end, she'll know who he is.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, moving out.
Let's hope he is in heaven and he got to keep his body, and hopefully he's not in HFIL.
Yeah. he has traveled Snake Way, and he is hanging out with
him and Goku.
Why am I blanking on he's hanging out with King Kai right now.
Yep.
We were watching the episode we ended last night. We were watching was when Piccolo had shot a special beam cannon and killed Raditz and Goku.
The
Goku died, and Trisha was like, "Oh, he's dead." And I'm like, "Oh, don't worry." And I was like, "Fun fact: this is the first of three times Goku dies.
This man dies a lot, actually."
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's see. Where do I want to move on to now? One's interesting. I wonder what's going to come of it. EA says Apex Legends will expand beyond the traditional Battle Royale universe this year.
Okay.
This comes from speaking at the Morgan Stanley Technology Media and Telecom Conference on Wednesday. Andrew Wilson outlined a plan which he believes can lead to incredible growth for Respawn's live service game. Wilson said Apex Legends is one of the most successful new game IP launches of the last 10 to 15 years, having built a community of hundreds of millions of players with an enviable churn rate. I don't like any CEO talking about churn rate when it comes to games.
I don't like the word churn rate.
Yeah. If you're thinking about streaming services which are dealing with 40 and 50% churn,
I can only get so buttery.
We've got a core community in Apex that has a 75% retention over the course of a 5-year period. It's an incredible franchise. But in the growth of franchises, we do see ebbs and flows. And where we've gotten to with Apex is we've got that first cohort of community that has been with us for now 5 years, and it's big, it's large, it's global, and it's deeply engaged. He went on to discuss EA's strategy for growing the franchise over the next 5 to 10 years. Initially, this will be focused on making the game more accessible, and after that, more culturally relevant to different markets. So yeah, just a bunch more word soup out of them. I'm not gonna, it's quite long, so I'm not gonna read all of it. But
I wonder what the churn rate is in the adult film industry.
Probably. I bet it's more than 50%. I bet it's a more of a churn rate than what Apex Legends is. All right. Let's. This was kind of interesting. So, as we know, the Fallout TV show is releasing next month,
which it looks awesome. Forgot to talk about it last
week. I am blown away by that.
Yep. I didn't even watch the new trailer. I was like, I'm set. I don't want to see it anymore. But yeah, it looks fantastic. But in an interview with Den of Geek, this interview was with Jonathan Nolan and Todd Howard. It says, in an interview with Den of Geek, Howard and Jonathan Nolan, who's a writer, director, and executive producer on the show, and showrunner Graham Wagner, explained that the series is an entirely new story set in the Fallout universe. Nolan caused confusion among fans earlier this month when, while discussing the show with Total Film, He said, it's almost like we're Fallout 5. I don't want to sound presumptuous, but it's just a non-interactive version of it, right? However, in this new interview, Nolan explains that while the show is set in the same universe and timeline of the Fallout games, it's neither designed to replace nor recount the events of the upcoming Fallout 5 game. I love how they say upcoming like it's coming out like next year.
Yeah, it's upcoming in the next
10 years.
Yeah, in the next generation.
Yeah. Speaking of the benefits of making an original show in the Fallout universe, he explained, it means you have all of the benefit of beautiful storytelling that Todd Howard and Bethesda has contributed to, but we also get to tell an original story within that world. As writers and filmmakers, it's just a dream come true. I think we made Fallout 6, Wagner then replied, to which Nolan joked, we know all about Fallout 5, we're not telling anyone. Howard then clarified these jokes by explaining that he did indeed share details on Fallout 5 with the show's creators, if not perhaps the full thing. Saying, well, there were some things where I said, don't do this because we're going to do this in Fallout 5. Howard also reiterated that the Fallout show will be a separate story from the game, saying it wasn't the translation of an existing story. It was, what would the next thing be? It just happens to be a TV show. So it's interesting that he basically had to tell Jonathan Nolan, like, hey, here's the story I have outlined for Fallout 5. Like, don't do this. But yeah, look forward to Fallout 5 when it releases in 2034. So, not much left. I only got two stories left. I got this one, which was kind of weird and funny. So last week, MMO for Stellar Blade appeared. And everyone was like, holy shit, leather-clad hottie, let's go play.
That booty so juicy.
Yeah. the demo, which appeared without any fanfare from Sony or developers shipped up, was live for around 30 minutes before being pulled offline. Those who downloaded it were also locked from playing after this period, but not before one user captured and uploaded a full 40-minute playthrough, which can be viewed below, which I'm surprised has not been copyright struck. Actually, let me try playing it. Nope, I can still watch it. Cool. Developed by Shift Up and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment, Stellar Blade, blah, 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 blah. Give me more info about... Okay, there's not much more info here about it being pulled now. Basically, yes, this obviously leaked early. The developer, Shift Up, on their X account, they tweeted that they're like, we were making a demo. but they reiterated that the demo is they were finishing up the demo, and that there was something which caused it to go live early, and that they said that it'll be ready soon. So I'm expecting sometime later this month it'll be put out for like realsies. But what I saw of it looks pretty good. Looks really good. I'm excited. I have it on my list, my draft. All right. Last story, which was the Mario Day.
Wahoo!
This was last Sunday. It was funny seeing people like, Mario Day's on Sunday. They're not going to announce stuff on a Sunday. It was like, yeah, they are.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how much corporations love dumbass shit like days of the week that go with the things they're trying to sell you.
Yep. Let's see. We'll start with this. Three more Mario titles are coming to Nintendo Switch now this week, which is Dr. Mario, Mario Golf, and Mario Tennis. I never played the Game Boy versions of those games, so they're probably not very good.
I've always heard that the Game Boy version for Mario Tennis is like really good because it's like an RPG.
I thought that was the golf.
Oh, you're right. Are they adding Mario Golf or just Mario Tennis?
It's both, tennis and
Okay.
golf, which were
Okay.
the Game Boy Color version. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure about the Mario Tennis, so that's good or not.
Yeah, well, let's see. Let's see where it says. Mario Golf was released in 1999, a few months after the Nintendo 64 game of the same name, and was the first handheld Mario Golf game developed by Camelot Software. The Game Boy Color version features a unique story mode, which is an RPG-like adventure where you choose one of four other humans, Kid, Sherry, Joe, or Azalea, all famous Mario characters. And take them through a series of tournaments, leveling up their stats over time. I might actually try this. Says Mario Tennis was released in 2001 and offered a similar feature set to Mario Golf. As with Mario Golf, the Game Boy Color version focuses more on gameplay than power-ups, meaning it's less over the top than subsequent Mario sports games would be. So the Mario Tennis also has a story mode. Oh, here we go. Where you choose between youngsters Alex and Nina.
Hell yeah. My two favorite Mario
Classic.
characters.
Yep, my favorite Mario character, Alex. Bing bing wahoo. That's funny. And then addition to that, the Paper Mario Thousand Year Door and Luigi's Mansion 2 got their Nintendo Switch release dates, which is May 23rd for Paper Mario and June 27th for Luigi's Mansion 2. So both have been confirmed to be $60 titles, which some people are upset about. I don't know why they were expecting these to be $60 titles, but and then finally, Miyamoto was there to announce the second Super Mario Brothers movie, which is given a release date of April 3rd, 2026. So, a little over 2 years. Which I don't think they gave any other details of it. He said, as for details of the new film, as I often say, we'll let you know once we're at the stage where we're ready to share more. Cool.
Please be excited.
Yes. Please, I'm announcing an announcement. So yeah, that's it. That's it for the stories I got. I'm gonna quickly go over the just an update on our draft. Alex, you have had 7 of your 12 games come out.
Yeah.
And by the end of March, you will have 10 of your 12 games come
Fucking crazy.
out. Josh, did you know Alone in the Dark releases a week from today?
I knew it was coming up soon, but
Yeah,
I didn't know it was that
and
soon.
no one's talking about it. I have.
There's some news on. I saw some articles today. One is the developer was saying that you could beat the game in 8 hours if you speed through it, but there's that you would miss a lot of like neat stuff if you just speed through the game.
I have had 3 games come out, although I have a game coming out in a little over a week, which is the Dragon's Dogma 2. I have high hopes because that was my number one
Okay,
pick.
did you see Andy Cortez making Garfield on that player creation demo? 'Cause you should.
Yes, listen,
Dude,
listen, guys.
what the fuck? I am so excited to watch more of that shit.
I have seen a human-like Pikachu made on
Oh
that, which is
my
absolutely
lordy.
terrifying. And the caption just said, "I choose you." But yeah, I have seen a scaringly realistic Hideo Kojima made.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let me see. I think
Please find us
my
that. That'd be amazing.
yeah, I think my friends put it in Discord today. So let me find it. And yep, here it is. So let me You can't put glasses on them, but you can put black rings around their eyes.
Oh, no. Oh, I hate that. That sounds scary.
Okay. But yeah, there it is. That's a...
Oh, I'm very scared to open this. Oh, that's... Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so weird.
I've seen people who are really good at making these characters be like, this is the best character creator to ever be released.
I'm so excited. That looks so cool.
Yep. Everyone's like, if you're good at these, you can legit just make yourself if you know what you're doing.
Fuck yeah.
So that seems cool. You know, I was kind of iffy on Dragon's Dogma, but I think it's some. I'm probably gonna get it. I don't know when. I mean, let's be honest. I'll probably get it when it launches because all my friends are going to play it. I'm gonna have FOMO. But I got a lot of other games I'm playing, so it realistically doesn't really fit in right now. Also, Rise of the Ronin comes out same day, which I don't really plan on getting that. But it's just crazy, two big games coming out. And then next month is Stellar Blade. So, a lot of games coming out. But anyway, we have each had a dud. One bad game so far to come out.
Okay.
Alex, you had Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
Which right now is sitting at a 61.
Yeah.
I had Suicide Squad, which is sitting at a 59 right now. Oh. And Josh had Foam Stars, which is sitting at a 60 right now.
That's crazy.
Now, luckily, like I said at the beginning of the year, our bottom two games drop off. So as long as you don't have three duds, you're in the clear.
Yeah, and I don't want to jinx myself, but I can't imagine any of our other games that haven't come out yet could score lower than those three games.
Yeah.
Let's see. For you, Josh, I could, you know, I think Homeworld 3 is a iffy. Like, it could score that low, or it could score good. Who knows? And then maybe Zenless Zone Zero. I don't know, depending on how people score it.
Yeah.
For me, I don't really see anything else that might be a dud. And then for Alex, maybe South Park Snow Day, depending on how it's received.
Okay, so has anyone taken NCAA Football 25 yet?
No.
Can I do that and drop the Snow Day game?
You can.
Yeah, let me do
that. You can absolutely do that. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Take a risk.
Was that given a date?
One second. I want to say yes, but I also am not sure.
Yeah, I thought it was like July or something.
It is July. I just don't know if they have an actual
day lined up. So. All right. So that means, Alex, you've used one of your drops, so we each have one drop left.
All right.
How do you guys want? So I dropped Paper Mario. It's not because I really wanted to. It was more because I didn't think it was really fitting with the rules of you can't pick remasters.
Okay.
So does that count as a drop for me because I had to get rid of it? Except I'm going to let you guys decide on this.
I mean, I don't care if you don't consider it a drop.
Okay, yeah, because there's really nothing else on my list that I'm looking at that I'd be like, yeah, I want to drop that, unless it would get delayed. But I don't know if there's really much else on my list that, other than Avowed. I mean, because Avowed could, I suppose, get pushed out of this year. Or I guess Star Wars Outlaws too, depending on how they're doing with it. But yeah, okay.
So, Alex, since you mentioned that EA Sports college football, well, in this question for Andrew as well, do you think EA is giving college players enough in compensation for using their likeness in the game?
So, I would like to see it up. I would like to see $1,000. I think that'd be cool. But if you do the math on how much they're pulling or they're paying, it's like roughly like $6.5 million to do all this to
pay the players. Like that, yeah.
And they have more than enough to do that. But I also think a lot of the kids and the reason why they sign up is because like who doesn't want to be in a video game? And like, and with the world as it is in NIL, they're getting paid a lot of money anyways. So $600 is pretty okay, and a free copy of the game is pretty cool.
I'd like to
see a little bit more compensating monetarily, but I'm not mad at it because a lot of college students obviously think it's a good idea, and they've mostly signed on for it.
I mean, not only do you get a copy of the game and $600. You're also getting your name like forever in a game.
Imagine
someone in that game and 20 years from now, you know, they show their they have a kid, or even when much older, when they show their grandkid hey, I was in a video game.
And like, let's say that person stays on the school for 4 more years. Oh, I was in 3 video games. I was in 4 video games. Like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I went to school for chemical engineering and I didn't go to the NFL, but hey, I'm in this college football game.
Yeah, and that's super fucking cool. Yeah.
So for a player who is like this upcoming sorry to cough. A player this upcoming semester or school year starting in the fall, if they're in college football for 4 years, will they get $2,400 in total?
My guess is they get six.
As of right now, they get $600 per game.
Yeah, that's what my guess would be.
Yeah, okay. So if they do another one next year, then they would get another $600 if they choose to be in that one as well.
Or if the price increases.
The only high profile player so far that I've seen that has
Arch.
That has that they will not be in it is
Arch the Manning from Texas.
Yeah, Arch Manning.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up
by the way.
I was going to bring that up because I thought it was interesting when his agent was like, Arch Manning is focused on his play in the field, not focused on his likeness in games. So it was almost like
third string, and like they want to wait. He wants to wait until he's like actually a starter.
But also to me, it was almost coming off as like Arch Manning. Pretty much like, you know, video games are shit. Like, I'm above that, so don't put me in it.
I don't know if it's that. I almost took it more of like, my name is royalty. We're worth more than $600. Yeah. That's how I took it.
So, for these college football games, because I never played any of the NCAA games back in the day. And I know back then they didn't technically use likenesses and stuff, but do you think that they will take, I don't know, like let's, who's a, I don't know college football at all, but let's say, for example, Arch, I want to, he's, that's not a good example. Who's a good college football quarterback right now?
I'll just go with my LSU guy, Garrett Nussmeier. Let's go with him. That's my
okay. Let's say Garrett Nussmeier. Let's say he goes, after, college, he goes pro and he becomes, you know, like really good and everything. If they use his likeness for like a legacy team in the EA Sports college games, would they have to give him $600
he's an adult? My guess is the NFLPA, the Players Association, they would because they have all sports unions and associations. They have a whole agreement. I heard about it somewhere. I don't know all the details, but my guess is that when he retires, that the NFLPA, since he's part of the union still, that he would get whatever compensation they are.
Yeah, probably.
Whatever. I can't think of the term or the word.
Also, when you think of likeness, it's not like every player in college is being scanned into the game. It's like they might do that for like the top 100 players, but all the other players, when they're using their likeness, they're just like looking at a picture of the guy, like maybe lightly making the character look in the game and like putting the number and their last name on a jersey. Like, that's all it's going to be. So it's not like it's like, holy shit, this guy is like a split image of his real life. Like, obviously, if you're, I know he's in the draft, but if you were, if you're Marvin Harrison Jr., then yeah, you would probably, they would scan him in the game mm-hmm. and be like, well, you're one of the top 100 players in the league. So, yeah.
But they're also not like bringing these guys into warehouses and putting a bunch of little balls all over their body and motion capture.
No, I'm saying that they might be doing that with like the top 100 players.
Oh, I don't know about that. Cause I feel like they're going to have their motion capture for like, kind of like movement and stuff, but I don't think they're going to bring in players and be like, hey, we want you to, for like a quarterback, we want you to drop back and act like,
yeah, maybe not that, but they're definitely going to be scanning their faces into yeah. the game.
Yeah.
Sure. But yeah, I don't, and just real quick, Alex, I know we could talk about this topic for hours.
I
was going to say,
I actually got to go, so we're going to wrap this up here after this question. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, you're fine. What do you think about, Nick Saban was in court talking about the NIL, and he's like kind of against it and for it at the same time. But the one specific example he gave was every year at recruiting, they bring all the recruits in for Alabama, and his wife would make like a huge, like giant breakfast for like hundreds of people. And that's when they go around and talk to like the mothers and parents and to the kids, the recruits or whatever. And he said the reason he got out of football is because his last time they did that, his wife came to him and said, why are we still doing this? And he was like, what do you mean? Why are we still? And she said, every mother I've gone and talked to has just said, let's just get to it. How much are you going to pay my kid? Like, she said, that's all they care. They don't care about what you're going to do for them as a person anymore. They just care about how many millions are you paying my kid? And he said that that's what it's coming to with every football team of, how much are you paying my kid now?
Yeah.
And so I think that the NFL, or not NFL, the NCAA has a problem on its hands. So,
oh, yeah. I agree. It's a very complicated thing. It's a very different and interesting landscape. I don't know, because I'm always for paying players and all that stuff.
But sure, yeah.
Sometimes I think some of the decisions are based on monetary, and I think that is becoming a problem, because you're probably going to see some smaller schools end up not getting big recruits. You're going to see some bigger schools maybe miss out on guys because this other university's got more money than them. And
yep.
I think it'll be a problem down the line, but I think it's something the NCAA is going to have to seriously look into and seriously figure out a way to have a sustainable model in order to keep everybody happy. I think it's a tough trek. I think they have a long, long fight on their hands, and Godspeed.
Yep.
All right, boys.
Yep, I have faith that they won't figure it out.
Oh, so. They probably won't. I have a little bit too much faith, but they probably won't.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, dad joke real quick.
Yes. Let me get his dad joke, please.
All right. People need to stop yelling at me. Just because I don't know what Armageddon means doesn't mean it's the end of the world.
Oh, my God.
All right, that was good. That was good. I'll give you that
yep.
one. All right.
Yep.
All right, boys. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right, if there's nothing else, I will talk to you guys later.
All right, later.
Peace.
Peace.